Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Play Fast podcast presented by Q4 Lacrosse. I am Bill Tharp, once again joined by my mainest men, the brightest and most wonderful men in New Jersey lacrosse, Gil Swenson, Anthony Terranova. Boys, we're almost at the finish line. How are we doing?
Doing good, man. You're right. At the finish line, just trying to dot the I's, cross the T's, start to play the best lacrosse possible. And get ready for the county week, county playoff week.
How you feeling, Tharp?
Feeling good. It was a big week for us. And I guess we can hop right into it. You know, we talked about last week going to be kind of a defining week for the top 20 and moving forward. And I think the week really delivered. You know, kind of reviewing the big games from last week before we hop into our top 20. You know, we'll go through Shawnee, Ocean City, like we talked about, you know, not a huge game in terms of, you know, ranking and stuff, but kind of giving us an idea where, you know, that Group 3 South stands. And Shawnee wins 11-8. Seton Hall kind of laying the smackdown on Montclair, 15-6. And then there's in the group of that the bigger games, CBA beats Morristown 7-6. Summit makes a statement and beats Rumson 7-2. And then, you know, Squan follows that up by beating Rumson 7-4. Ridgewood beats Westfield 11-9. Delbarton beats Chatham 8-7. Bridgewater had a big week, beating both Ridge and Gill. And then in the game of the Q4 game of the week, Pingree beats Westfield 8-5. You know, as spectators, any thoughts on the Pingree Westfield game? You know, especially you know, coming off the Q4 game of the week.
Yeah, I mean, it's an impressive win. I mean, Westfield, we talked about them last week, really getting hot, beating some of our, you know, top five teams from the beginning of the year, at least some of these top teams. You know, Prep, Delbarton, Summit, to name a few, and they were hot. And you know, Pingree has been strong for, you know, all season, and has been strong in the past couple of years, and, you know, kind of struggle in some of those bigger games. So I think it was a big statement win for Pingree to kind of not just get over the hump, but make that statement win and solidify their spot in our top 20.
Yeah, it looked like it was a great game. Got to see a little bit of it on the YouTube, and I thought it was a great back and forth battle. And I think they came, you know, Pinger came with a great game plan. Knew what was going to happen, and looked like they just kind of executed. And the biggest thing is, you know, they finished their opportunities. So it was a huge win for Pingree, and, you know, definitely keeps them in the conversation in our top three, and, you know, obviously a big time competitor in the non-public.
Yeah, I think it was a big win, and I think, you know, the things that we kind of highlighted about Westfield, they really delivered on. You know, they're one of the best teams in New Jersey in transition. You know, Michael Marshall showed why he's one of the best defensemen. He scored two goals. But, you know, the things that, you know, as a staff we keyed on, you know, trying to limit Cody, trying to limit Garrett Ferguson, I think we did a really good job of that. And, you know, especially the fourth quarter kind of turned into a game of keep away. And, you know, luckily we were able to come out on top. But, you know, really, really impressive game for the boys. Really, really proud of them. You know, 2 years in a row winning the – 2 years in a row winning the Bristol Bowl. Feels good. So, but, you know, and then after that, you know, I kind of glanced over it. Ridgewood beats Westfield 11-9. Ridgewood took a big lead into the fourth. I think they were up 9-5 or 10-5. Westfield storms all the way back to make it 10-9. 17 seconds left. Westfield had the ball out of a timeout. Turned it over, and Ridgewood got one late to make it 11-9. But any thoughts on that Ridgewood-Westfield game, especially, you know, especially with, you know, the week that Ridgewood had? I think I didn't mention this. Ridgewood loses to Don Bosco 12-4. So, Nova, just, you know, just because curious of your thoughts on Ridgewood's week in general, like we said, losing to Don Bosco and then, you know, being able to hold off Westfield.
Really anything when you have a huge rival. Obviously, Bosco's a big rival for Ridgewood, and, you know, you have a half-half at halftime. You know, I mean, sorry, the score is half, you know, tied at halftime, and then all of a sudden you kind of let the, you know, Don Bosco, who really is probably the best at it, is they capitalize on your mistakes and they can score in transition, you know, at an alarming rate, you know, if you're playing against them. And I think that was just kind of mentally and physically draining on Ridgewood. And so they kind of came into Westfield. I think they start a little bit slow. You know, it's always hard to kind of pick up that momentum, no matter, you know, they're high school boys we're talking about here. So it's always hard to pick up the momentum. I think there was a lot of sloppiness and, you know, some quick adjustments to the zone that they were running that they weren't able to do. And then they kind of figured it out a little bit. And then I think some complacency creeped in there and towards the end of the game, and Westfield just found a way to, you know, get the thing rolling and put the ball in the back of the net, and ended up being a game that, you know, at one point where you thought like you're going to turn off a little bit early to like, you know, hey, text everyone, hey, you guys better turn this game back on. So I thought both teams play well. And again, just shows you why, you know, you got to play the game for a full 48 minutes. And you know, why we love this game and how fast it can go. You see in the college level right now, left and right, where, you know, people, college kids are scoring goals, you know, 2 goals in 12 seconds, 8 goals in 5 minutes, you know, 9 goals in the first half against, you know, one of the best teams in the country. You know, it's like you can score goals so quick, and that's what makes sports fun. But at the same time, I think, you know, the best teams still find a way to win. Ridgewood still found a way to win. They didn't let, you know, Westfield take that they are out too much. And but again, you have a great battle of, you know, top five teams for a reason.
Yeah, and I think, you know, watching back the Ridgewood Don Bosco game, like you said, like that was ended up being an 8-goal game. But like, I think of the 12 goals, Don Bosco got at least 4 goals from combined long sticks, D middies, and their face hook by Scott Conti. Like Ridgewood faced off at 50%. Like it was a super competitive game. Like I don't know if, like, you know, when Coach Pound's throwing the film the next day, if he's like, oh my God, we can never beat Don Bosco. You know, even though when you see a score like that, you think it's overwhelming. But I do think that, you know, when assuming they meet in the county final next week, I bet you that game looks a lot different.
But yeah, that's there's no way both their top score, the, you know, Schultz and Scaletti are going to only have like 1 point each. Like there's no chance that's going to happen again. So it's going to be interesting to see, you know, the adjustments that are made next time they see each other. It's definitely gonna be a much closer game. But again, I think if Ridgewood, you know, makes any mistakes, you know, they don't shoot the ball well, they start taking 15-yard shots again, like I saw in the first quarter with the goalie is gonna save those all day long. You know, that's where they're gonna find themselves in trouble. So I'm sure they'll come in with a little bit more discipline at the same time too.
And it's kind of funny like how things change in 1 week, you know, like last week we did our midseason awards and like, you know, we had Boomer as the coach of the year. And again, like, not that 1 week's going to change what happened the whole first half of the season, but like Westfield goes 0-2 and it's like, oh, you know, especially with that, you know, and what Don Bosco did is like, oh, is Matt Lane coach of the year? And then it's like, we didn't even have Carfello up for goalie of the year because he'd been splitting time. And then he plays the whole game against Ridgewood and looks incredible. So like, it's funny just how like things and perceptions can change in literally 1 week. It's been a really exciting season so far.
Yeah, it's a lot of things like people don't realize when they're watching, you know, these games. Like there's so much more that goes into it. You know, it's not really a college game. You know, it's like there's seniors that you're trying to get, and there's different guys you're trying to see, you know, towards the end of the year. Like, hey, will this guy be a contributor? Like, hey, like this guy's a little bit dinged up, but like we can rest him because at the end of the day, you know, it's not, you know, there's no RPI or like everyone's pretty much getting in the playoffs if you want to get in the playoffs. So, you know, there's a lot of things behind the scenes too that, you know, aren't really seen where, you know, in a college game, like, you know, if a kid's not playing, you know, if this is not happening, you know, why, you know, they're splitting goalies in halves and things like that all the time. So, you know, it's interesting when you see some of these scores. Again, we don't know who was hurt, you know, in some of these games. I know, you know, Rumson Summit Rumson has a pretty big injury. Like we didn't know about that before the game, things like that, like things you don't kind of put together until a little bit afterward. But a lot of things that like people just read scores and they don't realize like there's actually a lot of things that go into, you know, developing a team and, you know, kind of trying to get your team just ready for the end of this month versus, you know, the beginning of the last month.
Well, and I think we've talked about this in our group chat extensively. Like, I think I agree with you because like when you look at lax numbers, right, specifically, you know, and having to win some of these games by 10 plus goals and it's like, you know, you're sweating it out. It's like, well, I want to get my backups in. I want to get, you know, I want to get the senior backup goalie who doesn't play much. I want to get him in the game. But it's also at the same time, it's like we're sitting here as coaches, like looking and it's like, especially in the non-public A, we can hardly afford to drop any points. And like for us, you know, like we had last week, and this is like such a first world problem, but like we played Saturday, Monday, Wednesday, Saturday, and we play again tomorrow. So like we're playing like 5 games in 10 days, something like that. And it's like, on Monday we played a very strong Hillsborough team. Like they're lower than us in power points, but they're not a historically terrible team. And it's like, okay, we win by 8 goals and we get hammered on lax numbers. But it's like, you know, we had Westfield Wednesday. So understandably, it's a 90-degree day. And so we have to rest in some guys. And it's like, next thing you know, like, we're just getting crushed on lax numbers. But it's like you said, Nova, like, you want to build a program. And it's like, you, at some point, you have to sacrifice, like, getting younger guys in and, you know, resting some guys up for a big game. And it's like, it's incredibly frustrating to, like, kind of weigh out, like, okay, what's more important in this situation? Is it trying to squeeze out 2 goals or building some continuity in your program?
I hear that. You know, it's definitely a first world problem, but, you know, certainly some things that, you know, some teams have to face, and it's, you know, it's part of the game.
Yeah. Gil, any big thoughts from before we wrap up the last week's games?
Not really. No, I think you guys hit a lot of it. I think a bunch of these games are interestingly matchups that we'll potentially most likely see again down the stretch here. Between Ridgewood and Don Bosco, we expect to see each other in the Bergen County tournament. Delby Chatham even could see each other in Morris County tournament, Montclair Seton Hall Prep. Rumson and Summit are still group two, right? So, you know, these are a lot of games that we can see again, Ridgewood, Westfield, and I think the scores are going to be vastly different, like you guys touched on. I think in all those games, really, I think we could see a big jump.
Right. All right, so that's going to lead us into our top 20 for this week. So starting out, so we had a couple honorable mentions this week, Randolph, Ridge, and Gil. You know, like we had talked about, you know, Randolph has been in a lot of big games this year. I think the one thing holding back from them getting ranked right now is took a really, really big loss to Chatham, which was kind of hard to swallow. And then, you know, Ridge and Gil, like we mentioned, both lost to Bridgewater this week. Ridge still kind of trying to find the level after the injury to their starting goalie. And Gil, you know, there's kind of chugging along right now. You know, we know they'll be there at the end of the year, but they're right now, they're just sitting on the outside looking in. But coming into our top 20 now, at 20, Montclair, 19, Shawnee, 18, Eastern, 17, Bridgewater, 16, Caldwell. Nova, I'll start with you just because, you know, you have both Caldwell and Montclair coming up in the Essex County tournament. Any big thoughts on that bottom five?
Well, it's good to see Bridgewater back in the top 20, I think, for the first time for us this year. They've been playing some really good lacrosse and having some competitive wins. And at the same time, I think some of those guys on the bottom half of this top 20 haven't been able to kind of really sustain their spot and kind of hold true. Eastern Shawnee, just great team. Shawnee's still a contender, you know, in the South. Montclair we have on there just because they play everybody for the most part so close. Like they have more top 20 games than anyone on the outside looking in by quite a lot, and they're always close games. Westfield, right, by one. Dunbarton by like one. You know, they're right there with some of these top teams every single time that they play them. I think Chatham was, I think they may have beat Chatham or something like that. So it's like, you know, they're right there. And I think, you know, they lost their, one of their better players, but I still think that they're a team that, you know, if they're playing anyone outside, you know, the top 20 or again, any team, you know, from 20 to 10 that they can get a run to.
Gil, any thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, I think we touched on Bridgewater in the beginning of the year. I said I wouldn't, you know, none of us had them ranked to start the year, but they were a team just with their schedule and their history of, you know, just developing good players and good teams. They're a younger team. I think we knew they were going to take some time and weren't sure if they were going to turn the corner this year. But obviously a couple of big wins this week for them, bringing them up there. And yeah, I mean, like we said, a few of these teams have been kind of sitting in that 15 to 20 range for a couple of weeks, kind of floating around there. I think Montclair were just waiting to get over the hump kind of and win one of those big ones. I think they've lost, like Nova said, a lot of tight ones, but a lot of top 20 games. So I think for me, like them and Randolph, a lot of like all the receive votes teams, you know, that we mentioned could all kind of be mixed into there. Like I had Randolph a little bit higher, but they also, like you said, had that big loss to Chatham, but they played close with Lakes, you know, big win over Westmar Central, who struggled, but also played some tough teams. But yeah, I think kind of a toss up there. But like we said, Montclair's just got that strength of schedule.
For sure. All right, coming in at 15, Mountain Lakes, 14, Chatham, 13, St. Augie's, 12, Morristown, 11, CBA. The big one in this group, CBA beat Morristown 7-6 earlier this week, so that one made it kind of easy. Gil, any other thoughts about this group?
Not really, no. I mean, we've had these teams kind of in this range as well. I think you know, teams are starting to kind of solidify where they're going to be, you know, or where they've been. Not a lot of big jumps in this range compared to what we're going to see moving forward here in the next 10 teams, but just a lot of good teams. I mean, these are the 10 teams we mentioned already are contenders in every sense. So to have them in the back half of this just kind of shows the strength right now where we're at.
For sure. All right. Our top 10 coming in at number 10, Rumson, 9, Bernards, 8, Del Barton, 7, Seton Hall, number 6, Manasquan. Great group, just a really solid group of teams. Obviously, Rumson takes the big drop, losing 3 games in a row. You know, obviously, we don't really factor in the loss to Manhasset from last week into it, but, you know, taking 2 losses in the week to Manasquan and Summit, unfortunately, was necessary for them to drop. Nova, you know, thoughts on this group in general?
Wasn't anything crazy that happened during the week for these teams other than what was already kind of mentioned. We essentially, you know, bump Squan up because they win. We move Summit up because they also beat our number 4 team at the time. And then we kind of just put them at the back half of that 10 that we have and kind of push everybody up. So I don't think it was anything crazy. It was pretty self-explanatory. I think we pretty much all had that, you know, the same exact idea when we were doing it as well. And, you know, any one of those teams, you know, it's going to be a great game between any of these teams at this point in the top 10. But I think it made a lot of sense kind of where it ended up.
Yeah. And that leads us into our top 5. Coming in at 5, Westfield, 4, Summit, 3, Pingree, 2, Ridgewood, 1, Don Bosco. And again, so just to be clear, Don Bosco, for the first time this season, takes over as number 1 in our poll, taking over for Ridgewood. Kind of like what you said, Nova, this group ranking kind of just made sense. You know, if Bosco beats Ridgewood, Pingree beats Westfield, and then, you know, like we had talked about, Summit had a little bit of a slow start to the season, but, you know, with the wins they've been accumulating, I think they've done enough to overcome that early season loss to Westfield, allowing them to jump over them. But, Gil, any thoughts on our top 5?
No, you said it. I mean, Don Bosco is just proven at this point, obviously being number 1, beating Ridgewood. They had some impressive wins earlier in the year. That Ridgewood win really solidified it. And then, like we talked about, Pingree over Westfield there, just kind of steadily climbing up from a little bit deeper in the top 10 to now, you know, climbing up to 3. It's going to be interesting to see, you know, Summit, Westfield potentially again in their county tournament, the Don Bosco and Ridgewood again in theirs. And then, yeah, it's really just about who's peaking at the right time. Like you said, Summit started slower than we expected them to, but they're right back up to number 4. And then, you know, like Rumson sitting at 10, 3 straight losses, 3 straight single-digit goal-scoring games after really starting hot, you know, with double digits for 10 straight games. And I know Nova alluded to an injury there that maybe could have something to do with that. But, you know, hopefully for their sake, they can get healthy and turn that back around where we know they can be. But like Nova said, I think he said a great, you know, every team, every matchup in the top 10, I think would be a phenomenal game right now.
Nova, what are your thoughts on that top 5?
Makes sense to me. You know, why do we have Westfield below Summit? I think at the end of the day, it really matters how teams are trending and that they're moving in a certain direction. Summit beat a team that was ahead of Westfield, so that just naturally kind of made sense at the same time to put them in, even though Westfield, I believe, has the head-to-head win over them. It was like the second game of the year. At this point in the season, like, unless it was something, you know, massive and absolute beatdown, those games in the beginning of the year start to lose a little bit of, you know, shine, and they're not as important. They definitely still matter, but you want to see a trend in the right direction. Then obviously 1, 2, 3, we're super obvious, and there's no way you can have, you know, really any logical way based on how we had our rankings last week into this week. Obviously, if you see some teams play, you might be able to say, like, hey, like, this team we think can beat that, but at the end of the day, we have to go from our rankings from one week to the next, and it just made too much sense that it ended up the way it did.
Yeah, and I think especially when you get to the top 10, especially, like matchups matter a lot as well. Like certain teams play better in certain matchups, like, you know, playing against a Summit or a Pingree against that zone. Some teams are just struggle against the zone, and that's going to be so matchup dependent, you know, whereas, you know, a team like Del Barton or Seton Hall or Bosco, like they're going to punch you in the mouth. It's going to be man to man. And it's like, can you handle that heat? Can you handle that pressure? And like anybody who watched that Bosco Ridgewood game, like Bosco will press out all over the field. Like you have to be ready for a 48 minute, like cage fight against those guys. And it's going to be interesting, you know, the saying like style makes fights. Like, are they going to be able to, you know, press out for an extended time against a team like a Summit or, you know, like they showed if they played at Westfield, you know, who plays zone, like, are they going to be able to handle a slow down, drag out game? It'll be interesting to see. So I wanted to just take some time now and kind of look at where are we at in the state? You know, we've talked about with lax numbers and different things. And even though the in-state rankings on lax numbers haven't updated yet, I think we all have, you know, using the general rankings, we have a pretty good idea of where teams lie. So I just wanted to go through group by group real quick and kind of just give everybody an idea of where we're at, highlighting some of the bigger games and kind of just getting your guys' thoughts on where we're at and, you know, some opportunities for teams to move up in the rankings. So just starting at the top, because Don Bosco is currently the number one team on lax numbers, non-public A. I think it's, you know, there's pretty clearly a group of six teams before it, you know, dips a little bit. And in order, and again, this is using the general rankings, not the in-state rankings. It's Don Bosco, Seton Hall Prep, Del Barton, Pingree, CBA, St. Augustine. I think that makes that clear group of six teams that stand out. Like we talked about, opportunities for growth, you know, Don Bosco will have the Bergen County tournament. So they'll have Ridgewood, Seton Hall Prep playing in the Essex County tournament. You know, they'll probably get any Montclair or a Caldwell in the final. So that's one of the games that we talked about earlier. Like Seton Hall has to win by 7, 8, 9, 10 goals or they lose points, which is, you know, crazy. Del Barton playing in the Morris County tournament. They're likely going to have a high quality game in the final against either Mountain Lakes or Chatham. The four seed in Morris County is you know, going to be probably a lower level team that's not going to be, you know, quite as many power points. Pingree has Morristown this weekend and then the Somerset County tournament, which is looking like a semifinal of either like a Ridge or Gill, and then a final against Bridgewater or Burners. So that's an opportunity for some more power points there. But Gil Nova, any big thoughts on non-public game where things kind of stand right now?
No, I mean, it's a powerhouse. The last couple of years it's been, and see upsets. And like you said, those top six teams, you know, it's really no surprise if a five beats a four, or, you know, three beats a two, because it's just so tightly contested there and in those top six. And it's going to make for a hell of a quarterfinal games too, which is great. Some groups you're seeing quarterfinal games that are 19-1, you know, and it's not great, you know, not great to watch for those teams and for the sport, but to see quarterfinals like we see in Group A is just it's fun, and it's no different this year.
Yeah, 4, 5, 6 are always super tough because you have to go through so many fantastic opponents. I think right now it's just interesting to kind of see if you were a fly on the wall, you know, with the coaches. Who are they saying they really kind of, you know, hoping that they're playing in the semifinal round, especially with those top, you know, four teams? I think it could still go in so many different directions. I think Bosco is going to be the clear number one, but I think 2, 3, and 4 are pretty up in the air, especially based on, you know, potential for points and potential for lack of points for some other teams. I think there's, you know, it'd be very interesting what teams want to play what teams come the semifinals and, you know, quarterfinals. But I think it's going to be, you know, no matter what you have to do, like, you have to be playing your best across to even make it out of the quarterfinals and not public this year.
Yeah, I agree. And I think, like, it is crazy because it's like, any one of those six teams, like if any one of those six teams makes a run, it's not surprising, which is awesome, right? But it's also super scary, right? Like, you know, even Bergen Catholic at the seventh seed, like Bergen's been in some dogfights this year. Like, you know, we said that's kind of a tier, but like, you know, Bergen at seven is also interesting. So it's like, unless you're that one seed, your quarterfinal is going to be, you know, a very competitive game. And I think it makes for a very exciting matchup. And, you know, like you guys said, it's like you have to be peaking now. Like it doesn't matter what you did, you know, early in the season. Moving on to non-public B, you know, unfortunately, this is kind of, in our eyes, probably a one-horse race. You know, Gil is by far the number one seed. Looking at Rutgers Prep, Holy Spirit, Bishop Eustace, rounding out the top four. MKA at five, Immaculata at six. Teams that can make it interesting, but any thoughts on this, guys, or do you all kind of agree this is probably Gil's to win?
Is it going to be
the one by mile?
10 goal championship win, 10 goal plus.
Yeah.
I mean, you're looking at Rutgers Prep, who's the second seed with a 3-6 record and a 77 rating. Like, anything can happen, and for sure, that's why you play the game. But on paper and kind of what Gil has already kind of produced compared to these other teams, it's definitely a one lopsided race right now.
Yeah. All right. Moving on to Group 1 South. Again, probably more of a two-horse race here. Bernard's 1, Rumson 2, Shore at 3, Haddonfield at 4, but similar, this one looks like a two-horse race between Bernard's and Rumson. You know, right now, Bernard's has the very, very, very slight advantage. However, when you look at the in-state, I'm sure Bernard's probably has a bigger advantage because Rumson currently holds a big out-of-state win over New Canaan. So I'm sure that there's probably a bigger gap there. You know, this pod's been very supportive of Bernard's. Gil, any you know, what are your thoughts on you know, Bernard's and Rumson?
Yeah, just looking at Group 1, I mean, I get to North in a minute, but it's four great teams in a battle for Group 1 here between North and South, I think. Yeah, I mean, Bernard's has been great. I mean, they're 11-1, but I think, like we said, like they lack some of the bigger wins yet, which I think they'll get, you know, when just the more competition they see. Obviously, they lost to Pingree in that big game, but it was a tight one. You know, like we know they can battle with the best of them. So, you know, Rumson on a little bit of a dip right now, but they get right. I think that's going to be a one goal championship game.
Yeah, and like you alluded to, Group 1 North, we got Mountain Lakes 1, Caldwell 2, and then a slight dip off, not as much as some of the others. Glen Rock at the 3 and Kinnelon at the 4. I think Lakes is a favorite, but I don't know if they're the overwhelming favorite they've been traditionally, especially, you know, Caldwell has not fallen off too much this year. Nova, any, you know, what are your general thoughts on Group 1 North?
I think you're right. I think it's between Lakes and Caldwell, but ultimately I think the winner is going to come out of that battle between the Group 1 South. Lakes definitely is not considered the favorite, I would say, which, you know, isn't something that we say very often, but I do think there's four teams, as Gil alluded to, that are in the running for this right now. But I do think that the winner is going to come out of that game versus Bernard's and Rumson.
Gil, any thoughts, or did Nova kind of hit it?
No, he pretty much hit it, I think. But even there, you got, you know, Kinnelon sitting in a 4 right now, who's, you know, steamrolling some teams, and they're going to get a chance to prove themselves in the Morris County tournament first too. So be kind of fun to watch them and, you know, see if a team like that can challenge one of the top two.
Heading up to Group 2, probably after Gil, the two biggest favorites are coming out of Group 2. Group 2 North, Summit's the 1, Pascack Valley the 2, West Morris 3, Sparta 4. But again, just to give you an idea on lax numbers, Summit's an 88 and Pascack Valley's an 81, which essentially means that Summit would be, you know, a 7-goal favorite. You know, So Group One North not looking, super strong, unfortunately. And then when you head down to Group Two South, it's very much the same. You got Manasquan at the one, and then Holmdel at the two, Wall at the three, Somerville at four. So it seems like Group Two is, again, very similar to what we've seen about, Group One used to be, right? Used to be, Mountain Lakes would kind of steamroll whoever's there, and their first real game would be the state championship. Seems like that might be the case in Group Two. Just looking at Group Two South, Holmdel and Manasquan already played, and Manasquan won 15-3, and that's the two seed there. So you guys have any big thoughts on Group Two?
Nope, you're right. Shout out to Holmdel, though, having a great year. Yet again, we don't recognize enough. They're definitely playing some good lacrosse down there. But as you already alluded to, right now, according to just Lax numbers, Manasquan's favored by 7, almost 8 goals. So I do think it's going to be a Summit Manasquan final, and I think it's going to be a great game.
Gilly boy, any big thoughts there? Or we?
No, you guys covered it. It's going to be, some of these teams, it's interesting to see some of the teams just looking a little bit deeper down. Like, normally this could be a pretty competitive group when Wall had years like the last couple of years. Westmar Central, same thing. Sparta, West Essex. But looking at some of the teams up there now, like Holmdel, Pascack Valley, it's kind of cool to see some of these other teams having some really great years right now and being in those two seed spots.
Yeah, and moving on to Group Three North, I think it's the opposite. I think this group's going to be absolutely electric. You have Chatham at the one, Ridge at the two, Randolph at the three, Tenafly at the four, Morris Knowles at the five, Ramapo at the six, Scotch Plains at the seven, even Northern Highlands at the eight. What a group. I think, this goes eight deep. And then you got, Princeton at the nine, Red Bank at regional at the 10. Like, Red Bank's got some dudes, they're not a team that you want to be playing early in the tournament. And then Princeton has some really strong players. So, and Coach Casto and those guys play a really tough schedule, but what a group. I think this is, I think Chatham has kind of distanced itself a little bit as the favorite, but I think you could see anybody playing in this final and not be surprising, especially the way Tenafly is playing. They've already beaten Ramapo and Bergen Catholic this year. We said, like, you talked about with Ridge a little down with the injury to their starting goalie, David Hamilton. Randolph has an outside chance to maybe catch up to Ridge, but guys, I think this might be one of the most exciting groups this year.
Yeah, you're looking at, I think the 7 seed here would be the 2 seed in one of the group 2s that we just talked about in terms of the Lax number rating. So, just looking at that alone, Chatham's definitely, distance from the 7 seed a little bit, but, Scotch Plains Fanwood, for instance, they're sitting in 7. They've played all these top teams before, like, they're going to be battle-tested come playoff time. And that's not a team, if I'm Chatham, Ridge, or Randolph, that I'd want to see them at any point in the first couple of rounds of the tournament. So definitely the best, I think, in terms of deep competition after Group A.
Yep, definitely agree with that. Chatham with a slight edge. Unfortunately, hopefully we don't know the situation fully with the Ridge goalie, but if he's back, they'll definitely be more competitive there and definitely give everybody a run for their money. Chatham with dominating Randolph already is like the one thing that's kind of like, okay, well, it's kind of Chatham's to lose, especially with the Ridge goalie situation. But then you look at like the AC, like Northern Highlands, where, they give Don Bosco one of their biggest in-state, fits so far. So, obviously it was a little bit of a fluke, I'm sure they'll say, but if they show out and they're able to put the ball in the back of the net and, they feel that confidence that they've already done against Bosco, why can't they do it against some other guys and just be a little bit more crisp in what they're doing? I think you guys nailed it. This is a great group with a ton of potential, even all the way down to, essentially the 10th seed.
Yeah, and I think arguably the most dangerous 15th seed in the entire tournament, North Hunterdon, Roll Lions.
Roll them.
If I'm Ridge, I'm quaking in my boots, seeing Coach Swenson on the opposite sidelines. So, shout out the Lions.
We're gonna play our best lacrosse in May, boys.
Well, it matters.
It literally doesn't matter until May.
Literally, that's just what many people lose say. Every game, get the 16th seed, and win four games in a row, and you won a state championship.
That's right.
Heading down to Group 3 South, pretty much a three-headed race, I would say. Morristown at the one seed, Shawnee at the two, Ocean City at the three. You know, Clearview slides in there as the four. Really dips off after Clearview, though. But like we kind of said, Morristown has really established itself as the team to beat. Has already beat Shawnee by six. I believe they've beaten Ocean City this year as well. So they've kind of shown that they are the team to beat. And then, as we said, Shawnee beating Ocean City this week, this kind of makes sense. Any other thoughts, guys? Or we all pretty much aligned that.
Open and shut case here.
Wonderful. All right, heading up to Group 4 North. As we said, traditionally, and one of the tougher groups in the state, we all thought that it might be a one-horse race this year with Ridgewood, but as we've seen, that's not entirely the case. So Group 4 North, we have Ridgewood at 1, Westfield at 2, Montclair at 3, Bridgewater at 4, dips off a little bit, you know, Livingston, Morristown, sliding down to that group. But that top four is looking really strong. Bridgewater right now sitting within striking distance of Montclair. So there's a chance that Bridgewater could sneak into that three seed, you know, which gives them a chance of avoiding Ridgewood until the finals. But like we talked about, Ridgewood, Westfield, Montclair, Bridgewater kind of makes a really strong top four. Gil, what are your thoughts on that little grouping?
Yeah, it's definitely down a little bit for Group 4 North standards in terms of, you know, really thinking a four or five really, you know, can contend with the one. You know, I'm sure Bridgewater can definitely give Ridgewood a game, but, you know, not like maybe past years and seeing like Hunter and Central sitting, I think, in like the 10 right now. You know, that's a team who's been in that top four year in, year out, and, you know, graduating some dudes over the last couple of years and just really rebuilding some young talent right now, obviously. But yeah, usually this Group 4 North is one that we're, you know, looking heavily at the four, five, six seeds really for who's going to contend.
Nova?
Certainly closer than it was looking like at the beginning of the year, no doubt about that. You know, with Montclair being, you know, already in a close game with Westfield coming back and having a close game with Bridgewater, who hasn't really seen these, you know, teams, I don't believe, you know, is getting better and doing the right thing. So I still think Ridgewood is definitely the favorite here, and they'll correct some things that they saw from the Westfield games and the Don Bosco games, but it's definitely way closer than anyone in the preseason certainly predicted.
Yeah, and I do think it's worth acknowledging, though, like we said, you know, Central is down a little bit this year, but getting a huge win in the 100 and Warren Sussex tournament this weekend over a Warren Hills team that we all, at one point, was a fringe top 20 team for us, beat them 5-3. So, you know, Coach Virgolito is one of the best in the state, so it's not shocking that, you know, they're rounding into form. And, you know, they have a round one matchup would be against Watchung Hills, a team they lost a close one to, but, you know, it wouldn't be stunning to see, you know, Central in a quarterfinal. And, you know, who knows when you get to the state tournament, them and Westfield have had some crazy battles over the years, and you certainly favor Westfield, but, you know, you definitely can't rule out Central and Coach Virg. Finally, heading down south, Group 4 South, probably at this point a two-horse race, but, you know, a couple teams will have a say about it. Eastern at the 1, Cherokee at the 2, Southern at the 3, Kingsway at the 4. Eastern already beat Cherokee this year 15-10, so they've kind of established themselves as the team to beat. Southern and Kingsway, you know, Kingsway with a big record, they're 9-1. Manalapan at the 5 seed is 9-2. Not having the same strength of schedule as some of these other teams, but feels like this is Eastern's to lose. Nova, Gill, any thoughts, or are we all pretty?
Yeah, no, I think it's Eastern's to lose for sure. I think Group 4 South is a little bit deeper, you know, in terms of these teams compared to some other years where it's that top team, you know, is 8, 9, 10 points ahead of the next, you know. So I think seeing this top five a little bit tighter than past years is good to see. And like you said, Kingsway, Manalip, and Southern, you know, I think they can all put up a pretty good fight in the deeper rounds of the Group 4 South tournament.
For sure. And I think something that's also interesting, and we've kind of talked about this earlier this year, is it's interesting to see the South, how much they've improved. You know, in years past, it was once you got to that state final, it was very obvious, you know, the North team was probably the most likely to win. But, you know, besides Group 4, it feels like the South and North are very even. You know, in Group 3, you know, you got Morristown versus a Chatham or Ridge. That feels like a very competitive game. Group 2, obviously, you got Manasquan and Summit. Excuse me. Feels like an incredible game. And then Group 1, you got, you know, Bernards or Rumson versus Mountain Lakes. Probably as up in the air as the North and South have been in some time.
Yeah, that's fair to say.
All right. Let's look ahead to this week. Thins out a little bit. I think a lot of the upper level teams are playing in their county tournament. So it's not, you don't have the same depth of competition, and there's not a ton of super, super high level games, but there are definitely some important games on the schedule. First one we have is Hun versus CBA, Randolph versus Bernards, Shawnee versus Ridge, which has lost a little bit of luster. And then I would say the top three games this week are Manasquan versus Morristown, St. Augie's versus Bridgewater, and then Morristown versus Pingree. Gil, what game stands out amongst that group to you?
A couple. I mean, the Morristown-Pingree game, you know, we'll get to see. Morristown's had some good wins this year. I don't think they've seen the talent, you know, of Pingree yet, and so we'll kind of get a gauge for where they're at. And, you know, given Pingree doesn't have any type of falter after a big win over Westfield, so just something to watch there. You know, Augie's BR, you know, being able to see if Bridgewater is going to keep this going kind of off this hot week. And, you know, it's a huge test for them. And then Randolph Bernards, I think, you know, we expect Bernards to take care of them, but Randolph's had some of these tighter games against some top teams as well. They've kind of been hit or miss. It's like I think they were two goals with Lakes, but then blown out by Chatham. So it'll be interesting to see how Randolph stacks up against Bernards and how Bernards does, and a little bit of a tougher game for them.
I think he nailed it. I got nothing more to add there.
Yeah, I think the one for me that really stands out is Morristown and Manasquan. I think Manasquan, and we didn't even mention this, then Manasquan's win over Rumson, that broke a 45-game win streak for Rumson in the short conference. So, you know, Morristown, Manasquan, excuse me, coming off a high. How do they handle that Morristown game? And then I look at Augie's BR. You know, last year, Bridgewater went down to St. Augie's and kind of laid a beat down on them. It'll be interesting to see, especially where Bridgewater stacks up. You know, St. Augie's had a tough one yesterday against Episcopal from Philly, from Pennsylvania, but Episcopal is a really strong team. So it'll be interesting. But like we said, you know, not the strongest week of games, but, you know, we do have Essex County tournament's going to wrap up this week. You know, we have Morris County, Union County. So, Nova, you said the Essex is basically Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday this week?
Yes.
And where's that final played at? Is that the higher seed or?
The final will be played at Verona at 2:30.
Okay. Okay. So if you want to catch the Essex County final, that's going to be Saturday at Verona High School. Should be a good one. Before we head out, everyone's favorite segment. Tough week for your boy in Pick'em. I went 1-4. Gil went 2-3. Novo had a 3-2 week. So Novo comes into this week in first place, 15-10. I'm in second place at 14-11. Gil's right there at 13-12. So need a big week here for the boys. Our first game, a rematch of an earlier season game, Bergen County Tournament, Tenafly versus Pascack Valley. Nova, we'll start with you.
I go with the team that won the first time, Pascack Valley.
Gil?
Who are you going with, Art?
I'm going with Tenafly. I think Tenafly was a borderline rankable team this week. You know, I think they're playing really good lacrosse right now.
We all went Tenafly last time and they they duped us, but I'm gonna go with Pascack as well.
All right. Up next, Morristown versus Mount Olive. Gil, we'll start with you this time.
I'm gonna go with Morristown. They're playing some good lacrosse right now.
Morristown. Nova? Same.
Wow, this one's hard. I'm gonna go with Morristown. I know they have a really solid poll. Kid Ross going to the Naval Academy, so I'm gonna go with Morristown. This next one, I have no idea who I'm gonna pick. West Essex versus Glen Ridge. Last time, Glen Ridge wins on a buzzer beater. Nova, we'll start with you this time.
Yeah, this is the toughest one of the week for sure for me. Really, no idea, because there's also a good chance I see the winner of this game as well. So I'm just going to go with the team that won the first time and go with Glen Ridge. I think they're slowly getting back healthy again, and hopefully that remains the case. I know they've been dinged up for a bit. I know their goalie's still out and all that stuff, but I'll go with Glen Ridge right now, but it's really a coin flip.
Gilly boy.
I'm going to go with West Essex.
Yeah, I think I want to take West Essex too. You know, the way they lost last time felt, you know, one of those heartbreaking moments that, you know, you don't know if it's replicable or not. I think Anthony Drago is going to be one of the better kids on the field, so I'm going to go with West Essex. Also, before we move on, did Zach Chalia switch his commitment to Syracuse, or is he just going there as a student?
I have no idea.
All right, well, Zach Chalia, if you hear this, respond on Instagram and tell us if you're going there to play lacrosse. And if you are, congratulations. All right, our next game, Hillsborough versus Hopewell Valley. Gil, we'll start with you.
Going with Hopewell.
The Fighting Matt Ferrays, love it. Nova?
Okay, I go Hillsborough.
I selfishly need Hillsborough to win so they get more power points. So I'm going to go with Hillsborough, although I do think this game is a absolute toss-up. Our last game, Manalapan versus St. Joe's Metuchen. Gil, what do you got?
I'm going Manalapan. They got a lot of upper-class talent right now that they're riding, and I also need to go opposite you guys, and I think you're going to go St. Joe's, so I'm going to ride with Manalapan here.
Nova?
Well, Gil's correct. I'm going with St. Joe's, hoping they bring me a victory.
Yeah, I'm going to go with St. Joe's also. I think Coach Calandra is doing a real solid job. Yeah, I'm going to go with St. Joe's. All right, guys. Big week ahead of us. Nova, next time we speak, you may be a county champion for the fourth year in a row.
I'm going to say again.
Gil, what's your week looking like this week?
We're still getting it settled. We're adding some games. We had kind of an open week here, waiting to see how counties played out. So we got some time here, and I think we got a game we're waiting to finalize on Tuesday. And depending how some county games shake out on Tuesday, we'll kind of see who we play on Thursday or Saturday. So
awesome.
Waiting to see how it shakes out.
And so Nova, you said Columbia to start the week?
Yeah, we have Columbia on Tuesday. Then the winner of West Essex, Glen Ridge. And then if we're fortunate enough to win that game, then it will likely be the winner of Caldwell-Montclair.
Electric. We got Watchung tomorrow and then Morristown Saturday. So big week for us. You know, gotta get the job done. But fellas, thank you for a great episode. Love talking lax with you guys. Again, to our fans, if you have any questions, any feedback, again, please do not hesitate to comment, reach out. I think Coach Swenson said he's going to be putting out a graphic this week of our top 20. I know it's been a hot minute on Instagram, so putting you on the spot here. There will be a graphic this week.
You got it.
So, again, thank you. Fellas, anything before we head out?
Nope. Looks like for a good week. The NCAA lacrosse bracket just came out, so yeah, that's coming up soon. I'm getting ready for all that.
Any shockers?
The first three out were all Ivy Leagues. Cornell, Penn, and Yale. Army didn't get in either. So that was some pretty interesting stuff to say the least. And Maryland is a seventh seed ahead of Penn State, but whatever. I don't do this stuff. So
I saw a stat that if Army did not make the tournament, that would be the latest team to be ranked number one to not make the NCAA tournament. So they were ranked number one as late as week six of the season. Trivia time. Does anybody know who the next latest was? I'll give you a hint. It's a school that's near and dear to all of us. Five, four, three, two, one.
Rutgers.
2017 Rutgers.
Ah, yeah.
That was the year we got upset by Delaware. Get to number one, riding high, get upset by Delaware.
Yep. That's right. Thanks for that reminder, even though I was on the squad, but thanks for that reminder.
Yep. All right. On that very fun and positive note, as diehard Rutgers lacrosse fans, fellas, thank you again. Have a great week. I look forward to us screaming at each other in our group chat some more this week. So
looking forward to it. Always.
All right, guys. Thank you again. If you have any feedback, questions, do not hesitate to reach out. And let's have a great week of lacrosse.
Yes, sir.